When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Special Ish on Radio Wolfgang. So we've just finished recording the newest episode of Science Ish. I'm going to say it's a good one. It's all about Alien, the film, and then aliens.
I don't want to hear anybody saying
nothing around
I'm
this
thinking.
Place.
Unless somebody has got a better idea, we'll proceed with Dallas's plan.
What? And end up like the others? No, you're out of your mind.
You got a better idea?
Yes. I say that we abandon this ship.
Obviously, everyone loves an alien, the idea of an alien. It's quite exciting to imagine they might visit us. The people who seem to really like them is the Americans. They have their little facility called Area 51, somewhere in, is it in the Nevada desert?
It is in Nevada, yeah.
What's going on in there, Michael?
Well, I'll tell you.
Give
I
us the scoop,
you.
Yeah.
It's basically part of a US Air Force base, sectioned off, kept completely sort of under lock and key, as it were. Nobody really knows what's going on in there, but people have seen stuff flying out above there or flying out from there. So clearly, you know, I would say with my rational mind, it's just some kind of experimental military technology that's being, you know, developed there.
But conspiracy theorists love to speculate,
yes,
on what might, yeah, be going in there. One of the main ones is sort of reverse engineering alien spacecraft from, yeah, the supposed Roswell crash, so we create our own our own alien spacecraft, and then obviously the study of the occupants who we assume are dead, but maybe we've reanimated them.
Oh, who knows what we've achieved in Area 51?
All sorts, mate. All sorts. But the thing that's actually interesting about it is that there is no credible evidence for any sort of alien entanglement in Area 51,
and yet.
It's
a persistent myth,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's like one of the number one, conspiracy theorists' kind of wet dreams. I was going to say for want of a better word, but actually I'm pleased with those words. and we asked psychologist Professor Viren Swamy about what he thinks might be going on at Area 51 and why it's so significant.
In kind of very general terms, it's clear that something happened there and something went on, and that knowledge of that going on hasn't been shared. Now, whether it was a UFO is a completely different story. So one question, if you were scientifically minded and if you were democratically minded, you might say, well, what actually happened? I want to know, because it should be a democratic process. We all have access to that information. Now, if a government comes along and says, you can't have access to the information, it's top secret for whatever reason, it might then lead to a conspiratorial belief that there are UFOs there, or that there's something bad is going on, or something's being hidden.
Could kill him.
I'm willing to take that chance. Just cut it off now.
You take responsibility?
Yes, I'll just take responsibility now. Get him out of here.
But where do you want to do this?
I'm making a decision just below the knuckle.
Right here.
Stand by him.
The question is, at what line do we draw that kind of moves from being a legitimate question about governance to being a question about UFOs or something that has no mainstream evidence in support of it?
Now, earlier today, a government spokesman dispelled any rumors regarding their interest in the Brown Mountain Lights phenomenon. Instead now, they're shifting their focus to the interrogation of that leading suspect, and that's Sean McClain. Many local residents, however, now have come forward claiming to have been questioned by the military about the Brown Mountain Lights, and that's leading many to speculate about a possible connection of some sort between the disappearances and the mystery lights.
We have a certain degree of power in society. We can do certain things and we can ask certain questions. Now, in any healthy democracy, we have to have the ability to ask questions. I have to be able to say to my government, I want answers for this, this, and this, and here are my questions about this. Now, the kind of line is drawn when that shifts into becoming a conspiracist narrative, because the conspiracist narrative doesn't just ask questions, it also provides an answer. It says, here is my question, but here is my answer at the same time, and my answer is not going to be good for you. Now, the kind of problem with a lot of conspiracy theories is that it's a blunt tool. It doesn't get us anywhere. If you're asking a question that already has an answer, you don't really want to know what the real answer is. You want your answer confirmed.
I was aware of feeling so relaxed, like I couldn't move.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really bothered that I couldn't move.
Yeah. You'd be happy just to sit there and look at it forever. Or just want it to land and go away with it.
Just a face, no real distinct features, and then suddenly being aware that there was much more to this world than I knew. It was a far wider spiritual experience. And then it just closed down, and that's all I remember.
It stopped. Didn't say anything like that except molecular acid.
You must be using it for blood.
It's got a wonderful defense mechanism. You don't dare kill it.
What about Kane?
I think for me, the question is what function do conspiracy theories play? And if you understand the function, then you can understand what function or what it tells us about society more broadly. So for me, a conspiracy theory, or most conspiracy theories, fulfill a very basic function, which is that they attempt to explain the world. And in a sense, it's doing what everyone does at a kind of normal level. We all try and explain the world in our own ways, in our individual ways, and we make tests against reality. Sometimes those tests come back negative and we find a different explanation. With a conspiracy theory, you accept an explanation and you don't conduct further tests. You kind of want to test only your theory, and you're looking for evidence that can fit your theory.
You've been in my life so long, I can't remember anything else. Now do something.
But what does a conspiracy theory tell us about society? It tells us a lot, actually. It tells us, firstly, that we have very little power in terms of making decisions and getting information that we need. It tells us, in terms of how we manage society and how transparent governments are, that they're not very transparent. They've got too much power, and they're not necessarily means of challenging that power. And conspiracy theories, in a very general sense, is a means of challenging power. It's a means of asking a question. You may not want to call it conspiracy theory, but just asking a question about, say, for example, what happened on 9/11 is not necessarily conspiracy theory, but it's a means of asking a question of power. But also, once you kind of believe that there is an explanation, it makes your life easier. You're less stressed about it because you're not having to worry about all the different things. And it gives you a kind of a way of navigating the world. It says, this is my worldview now. I'm going to adopt all the different explanations that fit with my worldview because that makes me feel better.
Don't be afraid. I'm part of the family.
So it's quite interesting that Professor Viren was saying there that actually one of the functions of conspiracy theories is that it asks questions of governments when governments aren't transparent. Because the whole thing with Area 51 is all of this stuff could be put to bed if the US government just said, oh, right, well, this is what we've been doing for the last 50 years. Here's all of the results of all the experiments we've done. No, we haven't got any alien spacecraft, but guys, come and have a look around.
Yeah, yeah.
Then everything is, all the speculation is gone. But you feel like we're never going to have that. And it's a way of highlighting the fact that we're not told everything.
I'd agree. But I would say that the conspiracy theorists would probably be incredibly disappointed if they were invited in.
Very disappointed.
That would ruin their lives. It's a bit like, you know, the Masons now let you come into their lodges like once a year or something like that.
Well, that's silly.
It's like, you know, no, I don't want to go in. I want to imagine all the weird shit that goes on in there.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I've got
yeah.
my own idea in my head of what that is like and what goes on. And
actually, eyes wide shut.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
me.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think, although you know, people say they want the answers to this kind of thing, I actually think they don't really want the answers. They enjoy the process of just, you know, having this crazy stuff in their heads.
Well, conspiracy theories are good fun as well.
Yeah,
aren't they
are.
They're enjoyable to read. I mean, I think you probably don't want to take them too seriously on the whole. But I like that also the idea that they just simplify everything.
Yeah.
Because if you kind of go, right, this is my question, here's my answer, then you can kind of, I don't know, rest a bit more easily.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
stuff makes sense to but, you.
Yeah. So the idea that you're, you know, the US military has been reverse engineering alien spacecraft, you could argue that that simplifies it. I would argue that, you know, that raises a lot of questions about why they haven't got anything decent out of it in 50 years or whatever. So, but of course, you know, these people don't really want answers, as I said. You know, they don't. They just enjoy the process of it. It's like any other kind of delusion, really, is that actually it's quite enjoyable to live outside of the real, normal, boring physical world.
It's a pretty positive note to end on.
Need more science? Of course you do. Head over to RadioWolfgang.com to find out more about becoming a member and downloading our app, which allows you full access to all the episodes of Science-ish.